the American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
So right before the break, we were discussing this term, managed retreat. This is probably something that many people haven't heard about. And I recently was hearing about this being actually deployed in Australia. There is an entire region right now that is being forced to leave their homes. And even when I was looking into, particularly in Australia, they were saying that, you know, in some of their plans for people that are refusing to leave the area that is going to be impacted by climate change, they may need to put them into facilities while they transition, so aka camps, and they've got a lot of those in Australia, and they have a lot of them here too, and in Canada, and I'm not sure about the UK camps, but of course they would have them because every Western nation does. And so they say climate change is really, really devastating the world, and we can't insure these properties. And then some sort of, you know, catastrophe comes to the place, whether it's flooding, fires, hurricanes, whatever it may be, or even just their predictive climate models, by the way. It doesn't actually have to be an area that's struck by disaster. The government can say, oh, our climate model predicts that this area is going to be at climate risk. And you have a range of NGOs that are aligned with the United Nations that come in and say, oh, yes, our modeling says the same thing. This area is at risk. And then insurance companies come in and say, well, these homes are not insurable and we can't, you know, we can't guarantee that this won't be affected by XYZ. And so you can't insure your home. And then, God forbid, something does happen. You can't rebuild. You can't do anything. Your home wasn't insured. So this is one of the deterrents that they use, you know, to stop people from actually going back to disaster struck areas. Certainly what happened in, you know, in Lismore in Australia, there were insurance companies saying, oh, well, this is now prone to flooding. It was a huge, huge flood, 50,000 people displaced. Same thing, government wouldn't allow people to help, wouldn't let donations come in, wouldn't let, you know, were being very difficult with volunteers coming. They had actual government officials going and staging. I mentioned this last week, I think, you know, removing rubbish and putting rubbish back into a driveway to stage for a photo op. Like, they didn't even actually go and remove the rubbish. They went and put it back in the driveway. It was absolutely offensive, but this is really how the government operates in, I think, every single Western nation at this point. And so, you know, people were told, oh, well, the government's potentially going to buy back your house and, you know, we're going to reduce the amount of housing here. Why? Because in 2018, the mayor of Lismore signed up for that area to be a smart city. And so you can't have all these old style country homes or rural homes in a smart city. You need everything to be smart. You need your toes to be connected to your microwave. You need your brain to be connected to the AI hive mind. You need this, that, and the other. And we just can't enforce that when we have all these sprawled out country homes everywhere. And so when I say that every single rural community is at risk, I am not exaggerating that point. So it's very, very important for people to understand the agenda coming down the pipeline, because even, as I said, even if Trump gets in, maybe his team is not fully aware of that particular aspect of Agenda 2030. Maybe the supporters and the people, you know, that follow him and have his ear can inform him about this. Certainly there would be people at a local level who are very pro-humanity but don't really understand this aspect of the agenda. This is how the government plans to strip you of your home ownership. It's very serious. They absolutely intend to do it, and they've already done it to an entire island in Tuvalu. Now, you may think that's insignificant, but that's a test case. We have to pay attention to their test cases to make sure it doesn't come to us. So right after the break, we're going to get stuck into Tuvalu. Don't go anywhere. You're going to be shocked at what the government's done to these people.
Hey, At InfoWars MD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric Oxide, Probiotics, Joint Relief Max, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Collagen, Superfood Greens, Turmeric, Ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Max Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWarsMD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I just want to take a moment to encourage everyone to take advantage of the huge sale at the moment on BrainForce Ultra. It's currently 40% off. You can save InfoWars and also get great products while you contribute to their important mission. BrainForce Ultra has been more than twice the servings and an even stronger proprietary super formula than the original BrainForce Plus formula. It's packed with powerhouse ingredients including guarana seed, alpha GPC, green coffee bean, Eleuthero root, yerba mate leaf, green tea leaves, ginkgo leaf, and ashwagandha root. Stop getting your energy from toxic sources. Many energy drinks and other products are loaded with artificial ingredients that are literally poison, guys. Literally poison. You can also get vitamin mineral fusion right now at 40% off. So go to the InfoWarsStore.com. Support InfoWars. Keep them on the air. This is incredibly serious because, you know, I can just tell you from a personal level, and it's not about me at all. I want to make that clear. I have put out many, many bombshell reports that literally could change history. I'm not even kidding. And it's not me patting myself on the back. I'm just trying to make a point here. And because of the censorship that I've faced, 3 Instagram accounts, you know, suspended on YouTube, banned on Twitter formally twice, you know, Facebook on a permanent ban sort of since April 2022, it's been incredibly difficult to get this crucial information out about things that are coming down the pipeline. Now, because of InfoWars, I've been able to get out some of that information to many more people. It's not about getting views. It's about, hey, they're trying to kill us in this way. Can we please do something about this? Let's stop them. And so the censorship machine, and this is why Hillary Clinton recently just said, you know, we need to. In fact, I want to play that clip really quickly. Hillary Clinton, control of information, clip 13. She says, we need to control information, otherwise we lose control. Take a listen to this.
We should be, in my view, repealing something called Section 230, which gave, platforms on the Internet immunity because they were thought to be just pass-throughs, that they shouldn't be judged for the content that is posted. But we now know that that was an overly simple view, that if the platforms, whether it's Facebook or Twitter X or Instagram or TikTok, whatever they are, if they don't moderate and monitor the content, we lose total control. And it's not just the social and psychological effects, it's real harm.
She openly admits that we will lose total control if we can't control the flow of information. And so this is why InfoWars is under such attack. This is why InfoWars is so crucial. This is why independent media is so crucial. So I'm asking everyone to support InfoWars. Visit alexjonesstore.com or infowarsstore.com today and get yourself some great products that enrich your life and also support the survival of this very, very important platform. And I say that because I'm now going to go into managed retreat. If Hillary Clinton had her way, you would not know that the government is planning on stealing your home from under your feet through an extremely convoluted way, whether it comes today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, they absolutely have plans to do it. Mark my words. So if we didn't have InfoWars, you would not know this information today. So think about that. Think about what it would look like when all of a sudden you have some authorities at your door that say, oh, your home now is at climate risk and we need to relocate you. And initially they'll pay these people out, but what happens when they say, oh, we also don't have any more funds because we gave them all to Ukraine or Israel or Lebanon? That'll be the next thing. Okay, so I want to show you a clip. This is about what they've said they're going to do in New Zealand. Clip 14.
Calls of retreat have been echoing across Aotearoa. It's a national conversation about how to handle managed retreat, how we move people and homes away from the growing risks of climate change impacts. Coastal areas, valleys and floodplains may not be the ideal places to inhabit in the future, and it's a discussion that's been galvanised by recent catastrophic weather events. So, what might managed retreat look like for Aotearoa? It could be a whole town being rebuilt on safer ground, like Grantham in Queensland, which was moved uphill after flooding in 2011, or homeowners being bought out and given the choice on where to go. Unless it follows a natural disaster, the time frame could span decades. Managed retreat is seen as the most challenging approach to living with climate change, but experts reckon it can sometimes be the most cost-effective option in the long term, or even the only option. So how widespread is managed retreat likely to be, and what's it going to cost? There's a lot of uncertainties, but looking at sea level rise alone, scientists estimate that around 36,000 buildings and close to 50,000 people will be at risk if the sea level rises half a metre. Some projections are for more than a metre rise by the end of the century, and that could mean the price tag running into the tens of billions. This makes for some thorny questions to grapple with in the beehive. What evidence is needed before the go button is pressed? Who decides? Is it local or central government? Who's going to foot the bill? Because insurance is usually only an option after disaster strikes. And what about the unique impacts facing Māori, with loss of culturally important sites and whenua return through treaty settlements? How these issues shake out could have a big impact on the lives of Kiwis who want to know, should I stay or should I go?
So again, that's some of the pre-programming that they give you. And again, they keep talking about rising sea levels. And let me just say that first of all, these rising sea levels are not, the sea levels are not rising. That's been proven time and time again. I'm going to prove it to you in the case of Tuvalu as well, which we'll talk about. But they use this term because it is very palatable for people. They associate flooding with areas close to the sea and they think, yes, okay, maybe the government needs to keep me safe. Let me be abundantly clear. The government should never at any point whatsoever, at any time in my life, have a say over where I'm going to live. Never at any point, under any circumstances, never ever, well, should they ever be able to tell me, no, this place you shouldn't be living in, it's not safe for you. I will make that decision about whether or not I feel safe enough because I chose to live on this tree log hanging off a mountaintop or not. That is my decision. You are not my mum or my dad or my God. So the fact that they're even putting out this propaganda, like it's somehow normal that the government's coming in and telling you, hey, not so safe for you anymore. We're going to move you out of here, but don't worry. We're going to give you money to go elsewhere. And some of these people actually believe it. Some of these people actually believe it. And the example of Tuvalu is the most egregious, because you look at, people think, well, it'll never happen to my home. Well, insurance companies are already preparing for this. Zurich has a whole article on it. I'm going to show you in a moment as well. Insurance companies are preparing for it. I'm seeing them in Australia and the United States alike talking about managed retreat. And of course, a lot of these insurance companies, not saying Zurich is, I haven't checked, but a lot of these insurance companies, the big players, are of course WEF aligned. And so of course they would be aligned with Agenda 2030. And of course they would be refusing insurance for so-called climate areas at climate risk. Right. And so did you notice that she said that managed retreat can be challenging without some sort of a disaster? So that what they're saying to you is, you know, if you're not hit by a catastrophic flood or if you're not hit by a catastrophic hurricane, it can be really hard to convince people to move out of that area. Why should they move out of the area? Because you lied and you said that they might be at risk of floods or fires. That is their decision. If they want to run the risk of losing their lives, leave it to them. And if they want to do that, even though the insurer won't insure their home, no problem. That's their risk. That's their potential financial loss. That's their potential loss of life. You are not here to manage that risk for me. Unless I'm putting others in danger, go screw yourself, government, Mr. Government Man. But the example of Tuvalu is really, really serious. What they've actually done with this place is they've convinced this entire island that they're going to be underwater, you know, tomorrow. I'm exaggerating, but, you know, or I'm being sarcastic, but that's essentially what they've said. They've said that this is going to, I'm just looking for my Tuvalu article. Tuvalu says the impacts of climate change have forced it to create a digital copy of itself in the metaverse. But in the real world, not everyone's convinced. So they've said this island is flooding. It's going to be completely underwater. Australia made a treaty with Tuvalu that basically agreed to bring in 280 of their 11,000 residents per year. And of course, there'll likely be others that are brought out of that region to go to other countries. And so they are actually bringing people, they've convinced some of these people on this island that they're going to be completely underwater, and they're bringing 250 of them. Thank you, crew. They're bringing 250 of them per year. And again, those don't sound like big numbers, but consider that this is going to start being a very widespread operation and agenda. And so they're going to be bringing 280, I believe, of these people per year from Tuvalu to Australia, because they're telling these people, not only are they telling them you can't live here anymore, they're telling them you are actually going to be completely underwater, and the only way that you can visit your home is in the metaverse. They've actually built a digital twin of Tuvalu. This is the craziest thing you will see in your life. Take a look at clip 17.
As our land disappears, we have no choice but to become the world's first digital nation. Our land, our ocean, our culture are the most precious assets of our people.
This speech from COP27 went viral and prompted a flurry of responses online.
So this country is moving full-time into the metaverse.
While the plan has been met by skepticism from many, Mr. Coffey argues Tuvalu needs a way to continue exercising its sovereignty as a nation, even if its land is lost and its 10,000-plus population is forced to move.
Tuvalu's digital twin will be hosted on the metaverse. The metaverse is a three-dimensional online virtual reality, which some in the tech industry believe could be the future of the internet. This is a digital replica of Te Afualiku Islet in Tuvalu. It was created referencing satellite imagery, drone footage, and photos. It's just a proof of concept at this stage, and it's the only island in Tuvalu to be digitally rendered so far. It looks pretty impressive, don't you think? But questions about when this project will be completed and whether real people will be represented by avatars are still unanswered. David Nord, who heads the Accenture team who created this prototype, says there are a number of ways to provide access.
If you think of the typical things that are low barriers for people, it's a web browser. Secondly, a mobile phone. The third option would be if you did want to do it in some kind of immersive environment in a VR headset. As long as you have access to a device that has an internet connection, you should be able to experience this.
Don't worry if you don't have an internet-connected device. Mr. Coffey says the government will provide Tuvaluans with devices to ensure everyone has access.
Either way, we're going to build a digital nation. It makes life much easier for us. It ensures that we are ready whenever there is a disaster.
Do you remember that when the WEF said right after COVID that the biggest lesson that we learned during COVID was that everyone needs the internet, and then Hillary Clinton went to some remote village in India to deliver them with high-speed internet. It was the most bizarre, one of the most bizarre endeavors of Hillary Clinton. Like, you go to some remote village in India to give them high-speed internet. Why would they need that? Well, number one, so they can be connected to the propaganda machine. Number two, so that they can be conditioned to use the internet, this remote village that literally eats off the ground. You know, they eat off the ground. They have clay huts. Why would they need the internet? Their way of life is totally different. They have a tribal way of life, but they want them to have high-speed internet so that they can become accustomed to it, so that one day they can be corralled into smart cities to be controlled, and they know how to access the metaverse, which he says, a lot of experts say, is the future of the internet. What it's actually called is the AI world society, and it's the digital life that they plan to transition everyone into so that you don't actually experience real life at all. And he says that there may even be real people represented by avatars visiting Tuvalu when they all go and look at their ancestral home in the metaverse. They're not allowed to stay there anymore. They're building. Either way, if they can't salvage Tuvalu, they're going to build a digital twin. By the way, that leader of that nation is the biggest globalist if I ever saw one, betraying thousands of years potentially of ancestral home of these people. These people have been there their whole lives. Their ancestors have been there. They are tribal people, a lot of them. They have this really old school way of life, and he's coming in and saying, no, we've got to rip them out and shove them into the metaverse. It is the most dystopian thing I've ever seen, but this is not the only example we will see. I promise you, I'm watching this and watching these people, these residents that are falling for this, thinking this is predators preying on tribal people who don't know any better, who are being told that climate change is going to destroy their homes, so the only way that they can view their ancestral homes anymore is by plugging into a VR headset. It is the most insane thing I've seen in my life. And so he says, you know, the biggest thing is that they need an internet connection, but don't worry, the government will provide the people with these devices. Just like Hillary Clinton went to deliver high-speed internet, because they're number one. This is why smart TVs are so cheap. This is why absolutely anything smart is very accessible now, because they want you connected like some sort of cyborg at all times. So the government's even going to give them the devices so that they can go and look at their mum's grave in the metaverse. This is the most sick thing. And so they say the Tuvaluans are preparing for life in Australia as rising tides swallow their country. That's what the article says. It's a sad situation because we Tuvaluans contribute less to the cause of climate change, but we are the ones suffering, one resident says. Well, none of you are actually contributing to the cause of climate change. It's actually the military and all of the private contractors that are involved in changing the weather. That's who's contributing. CO2 is much needed. In fact, we don't have enough of it. But you're being forced from your homes because of this lie. And it says the Falapilli Union, an agreement letting Tuvaluans escape the impacts of climate change and move to Australia, came into effect last month. It's going to let up to 280 people to migrate each year through a random ballot. I want to show you this example of what this guy says, because he actually moved to Australia from Tuvalu in 2011. He came because he's a university academic and he's married an Australian. And it says, you come from a very small village in Tuvalu and then you're in a city, Mr. Katara says. It goes on to say, you're looking for a job, you're looking for a place to stay, you need to set up your banking, you have to have a tax file number and all of those sorts of things. That's what I went through, obviously, on the island where you're free of government control when it comes to all of these sorts of things and you have your own economic system and you don't need to be locked into a digital existence. Gosh, that sounds like I want to live in Tuvalu, to be honest with you. But these are the things that he's preparing these people who are being ripped from their homes to come and, you know, get a tax file number and get an ID and probably get a digital ID. These guys, what's the bet that the condition of them going over to Australia now that it has a digital ID, they'll be told they have to hook up to that social credit system in order to move? We do not think about things like your rental history, your credit rating, all those sorts of things that can come into play when you rent property. So he's talking about the difficulty of trying to rent, trying to survive, trying to come to Australia from another country, being a tribesman, how difficult that is. So what's the solution for these people that are being pushed out of their homes by managed retreat? Well, they're going to have to depend on the government to relocate them and make that relocation simpler for them, therefore government services, therefore complying with everything the government does. What I'm asking people to do as I'm reading you this example of Tuvalu is imagine this in a rural town in Idaho. Imagine this in a rural town in New Zealand, like they showed you before, that they fully intend on implementing managed retreat in New Zealand. We played that clip before. And mind you, it doesn't have to be a climate catastrophe, although I think originally they will probably use climate catastrophes, disasters, floods, hurricanes, things of this nature to convince people that this place is no longer safe. They will do that. We have that example from Lismore in Australia, for example. But eventually their climate modelling will just say, sorry, this is too dangerous and the government has deemed that you can't live here anymore. And it's okay, don't worry, we already did it to an entire island named Tuvalu. It's fine. We'll give you a free VR headset so you can visit your home. The UN has described Tuvalu, which has a population of about 11,000, as being on the extreme front lines of the global climate emergency. Really? Well, that's really interesting because we have picture 18. Crew, if we can bring up picture 18, this is Craig Kelly, a former politician in Australia. Tuvalu is not sinking. It's actually growing in size, ignoring the climate grifters and follow the science. So this is a Nature publication that actually says results highlight a net increase in the land area in Tuvalu of 73.5 hectares, 2.9%, despite sea level rise and land area increase in 8 of 9 atolls. In fact, island change has lacked uniformity, with 74% increasing and 27% decreasing in size. It happens. It's an island. But this UN monster, Guterres, in picture 19, is sitting here. If we can just bring up picture 19, on Time magazine, our sinking planet with water to his knees, saying, this is apparently the water of Tuvalu. Saying our sinking planet. So again, that Nature article actually shows that a net increase in land in Tuvalu of 73.5 hectares despite sea level rise and land area increase in 8 of 9 atolls. It actually says results challenge perceptions of island loss. And so look how easy it's been for them to go and prey on these people on a little island who have a traditional way of life, who aren't necessarily plugged into the matrix to understand every single scam that's out there, so that they know that this is actually the UN Agenda 2030 coming for them. They've just gone, they've plucked them out, they've moved them to another country, and they've told them you can go back through the metaverse. Through a lie, through an actual lie, they've told them that they're sinking when actually their land has increased. So how much do you think they will lie? If they've done it to a whole country, how much do you think they will lie to do it to a small country town? Don't go anywhere. We have more on this after this short break.
Down to my last few chips. It's like a video game. You're winning the last level, fighting the last boss, but you're on one life, quarter power, one more hit, you're blown up. I use the Rathacon analogy. I'm not a big Star Trek fan, but I like that movie. Some of the 60s shows I like growing up as a kid. But the point is, it's all politically correct. That movie where the ship, you know, the big weapon's about to go off, they're going to get killed, they're trying to race away from the detonation of the Genesis Project, and Kirk says, Scotty, I need warp 1 in 5 minutes and we're all dead. And that's not really the case. I mean, there's a lot of stuff lined up. It takes a lot of time to deal with a lot of big groups who want to come in and launch stuff. I've got to go through that. I've got to make sure they're not going to control what I say. We've got backups. We've got to, but it takes time to set that up. The person I trust the most is me. And Alex Jones sitting on no money, basically, and not having money to, I have to personally go in and pay for, so they don't take my name, which is preposterous, but they're trying, or the social media, if they shut down InfoWars, I have to be able to hold them off like I've been doing. They got Giuliani in a year. I've been fighting them 7 years. So, grace of God, you know, we're in the fight. But I've got to fight that and pay for the bankruptcy defense in the next few months, and it's conservatively $300,000. And you got to sell a lot of t-shirts when you're only getting a few bucks per t-shirt yourself to pay for that. So they're great t-shirts. You need them. TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And a lot of folks are responding, and I don't want to belabor here, but I belabored yesterday and we got big support. And it's nothing more frustrating than have to just cover this to survive. But that's what I'm doing. But they are great t-shirts. It's all there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Separately, the sponsor, my dad's company, based right here in Central Texas, DrJonesNaturals.com. Great nano silver products, great next level foundational energy, Kava Chill, Top Brain, Rocket Rest, Sleep Aid. You go there and like 70% of the stuff sold out because my dad's up against the wall. They've been attacking and going after him for 2 years. He spent basically everything he had on that. He put everything else he had in to get some stable products reordered and four new products that start coming in next week that are going to be great. So you go there and you're like, well, there's almost nothing here. Now we're up against the wall. So go get what's there. Stuff that's left's all great. Silver Bullet, Foundational Energy, Kava Chill. A lot of other stuff. There's still like more than a dozen items left. There was like 50 there before. And just get it, and then you'll see the stuff come back. It's like farmers. They got to have money to hold back to buy seed or save seed. DrJonesNaturals.com had to put everything in to get the next seeds to continue the cycle of funding our operation and my dad's operation funding us. So that's why you're like, well, there's almost nothing left here. It's all got, we didn't have the money to buy more stuff. He didn't have money to buy more stuff. So we are up against the wall here. So I won't have to do this every show if more than 1% go, you know what? I think I'm going to stand up for the country and myself in the future and support people that are obviously the top enemy of the globalists. It's a no-brainer. And I'm going to get great products in the process. It's just... But I get it. Most people, this is just a show. This is not a show, people. This is the defense of the future of our species that's having a big effect on the enemy. So I want to thank those that understood this and have bought the products and love them. They've got like 4.7 star reviews. And I want to encourage those that haven't to go to drjonesnaturals.com. And then InfoWars Store. Anything you order, even if we get shut down, it's all there. Won't be shut down for months. You know, if that's the case, because even if they sell it and bad guys get it, it'll take a few weeks, they say, to shut it down. So we're about 2 months out from shutdown. So you'll get all your product at InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamineral Fusion's back in stock for 40% off, and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com as well. All right, I'm going to blitz news. Stay with us.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at ban.video.
Before they gave everyone a shot that makes them infertile, before they gave everyone an injection that will kill them off, they tested this on Africans before they tell people that they need to move out of their homes because of climate change and relocate to a city, a smart city. They tested it on Tuvalu, and that's what we've just been covering in this past 20 minutes. Now we're going to talk, I'm just going to show you a little bit more about the backup plan for Tuvalu, and then I'm going to show you that this is actually also planned for the U.S., and it's pretty much, it's in every single country, and it's not always called managed retreat, by the way. And in fact, I have some of those other names here. So communities consider managed retreat from climate change, it says. And it gives an example of this particular person, Ricky Wright, pointing to the bank of a creek to show one way his hometown has been affected by climate change. He's part of the Gullah Geechee, a group of black Americans who descended from slaves and live off the coasts of North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida. I would say it's depressing to lose a place like that, especially if you grew up there, he says. And so this article goes on to say this is a huge issue. By my reckoning, there will be 30 million people who are displaced by mid-century, and there will be mass migrations in the United States, said Stephen Eisenman, director of strategy for the Anthropocene Alliance, a climate and environmental justice group. The biggest question is whether the retreats are planned and methodical or unplanned and chaotic. So they're saying, well, just so that it doesn't have to be chaotic, we can preemptively move people out of these areas. Oh, forms of managed retreat have existed in the US since at least 1989, when FEMA began buying properties in flood-prone areas. Does that surprise anyone whatsoever? With help from government buyouts, some communities simply move to nearby areas that are less prone to disaster. Others migrate to different parts of the country or to different countries altogether. Buyouts are not the only component. Other strategies include restoring habitats, replacing concrete-laden areas with green space, and using zoning laws to limit development in troubled places. Do you know what that means? That means declaring it under the Wildlands Project, or, you know, declaring it a protected area and essentially banning humans from ever going there again using zoning laws. This is now protected. The government, has this listed as protected land. And by the way, we did it under UN 30 by 30. So it's actually UN protected land. And you can't go here anymore. And right now in Australia, they're doing that under the guise of sort of tribal, you know, protected lands. Biden's just done it as well in Alaska. Millions and millions of acres where human beings are now banned from going. It's essentially, and it doesn't expressly say that, but that is what it will be. In Australia, I've told you guys before, there is a man facing prison time for building a little bridge on his own property over a creek. Now, that's part of sort of the UN pretending to work with the Indigenous communities agenda, but it's all the same. It's all the same. It's all about limiting your use of your own land, limiting your ability to live where you want to live, and ultimately through a multifaceted attack approach, getting you into a smart city. And so it says parts of Florida, California, and New York could someday need to use the same strategy. Now, they don't always call it managed retreat, so it's really important that people understand this. It is also called, it says proponents are starting to adopt other language, including planned relocation and climate migration. So it's important to be aware of some of those terms that you may hear: planned relocation, climate migration, anything of this nature. You just need to be aware of so that you can you know what's going on. If you see these terms, your area is under attack. And I really do encourage everyone, especially if you live out in a rural community, see if there have been any discussions about managed retreat, climate mitigation, anything of this nature in your community. I recently gave a talk in a community meeting here in Central Texas, and I informed them that Brownsville is actually a smart city now, and they were shocked. They had no idea. I bet many people in Brownsville didn't know that either. It's a recent sign up. They've just started. It's really important to keep your finger on the pulse of what's going on in your local areas. So just on Tuvalu, the backup plan is that because of the impacts of climate change, they're going to forced it to create a digital copy of itself in the metaverse. But in the real world, not everyone's convinced. The threat of total evacuation in the decades to come is being treated as serious by the country's leaders, with the UN describing it as being on the extreme front lines of the global climate emergency. And then it says, our country is actually preparing to move completely online, operating from cyberspace. So that is what the AI World Society is. That is the plan for everyone. Even if they manage to get you into a smart city, the plan is for you to live out your existence on the internet, online, kind of like, you know, what's that Bruce Willis movie where he, you know, plugs in and then lives out his life in the metaverse and then unplugs and his wife's in the other room and she's really unhappy. I can't remember the name of the movie, but if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. And eventually they just, someone just unplugs them all. They all drop one day. Surrogates. That's the one. Thank you, Karu. Surrogates. That's the one. That's kind of what the UN describes they want our lives to be like. I'm not even kidding. If you haven't seen it, go to zmedia.com or ban.video and watch my series on UN 100. You will freak. You will freak at what these people have planned. So it says, what is a digital nation? Some governments are now experimenting in this space to create smart cities. For example, Singapore, an island city-state also combating the effects of rising sea levels, has created a digital twin of its entire country. Singapore's government has created a digital twin of the city-state. The digital twin is fed real-time data on weather conditions and human movement to help city planners make informed decisions in the physical world. So they build this digital twin. They tell you, oh, we're building the digital twin so that we can have AI assess what the real city needs. And this is, again, I'm going to go back to this. When I was researching geoengineering and I found all these projects listed on the NOAA's website, NOAA, and they had weather modification in Utah, weather modification in California, snowpacks in Colorado, this, that, the other. I was shocked at just how much they were publishing. Sometimes it was the city working with these private contractors. Sometimes it was, you know, the names of the private contractors conducting this stuff, energy companies doing these spraying, weather modification operations, and openly listing that they were putting poisons into the atmosphere. And I thought, how is this possible? And then I found that that NOAA had a mandate through their OMIC strategy to upload all of this into the cloud by 2025. I've repeated this information a million times over, but I'm going to keep going because I'm not sure people get it. Not saying you don't, others. So they have a mandate to update it all, upload it all into the cloud by 2025 under their OMIC strategy so that AI can do their climate modeling. Now, what do you think happens when you give AI, a large language model that learns based on what you feed it, information that says that in order to keep temperatures normal, you've had to do geoengineering 50 times a day? Well, that AI is going to come back and say, we need to do more geoengineering, right? For the climate. So what's going to happen when they build these digital twins and feed the AI large language model that says, oh, look, you know, humans being out too much today. The Melbourne experiment, right? UN Melbourne experiment. Humans being out too much today is causing further climate change. We're watching them all. We're watching the traffic. We're watching all of this. So we need to keep them inside more. And then as they slowly incorporate AI into all of their governance and policy creation, which they're already starting to do, AI says, oh, because of climate change, we need to keep people indoors more. You've got to create laws around it. Sorry, that's what AI said, guys. This is what we have to do to save the planet. Oh, and by the way, AI also said you can't live here on this mountain anymore. And when I first exposed the smart city agenda and the Melbourne experiment on the Alex Jones show about 2 years ago now, when I first saw those maps and I saw the city of Sydney in Australia is going to be split into three what they call districts and the border ends at the mountains, guys. I know that city. I lived there most of my life. The border ends at the mountains. Humans not allowed to go into nature. That is the plan. So whether what's happening in North Carolina is related to managed retreat or not, I think it's very, very important because we heard some rumors about people there being told that their properties will be affected, that they won't be able to go back, a government may buy up, all of that sort of stuff. I don't know whether that's true or not, but I can tell you that managed retreat is absolutely real and this is already happening. So it says further. Actually, we'll leave that article for now. I want to show you this. Managed retreat done right can reinvent cities so they're better for everyone and avoid harm from flooding, heat and fires. So it's not just storms. It's not just coastal areas. It's also heat. It's also fires. It's also if the wind blows a little fast today. It's also if someone sneezes in Croatia. It's if someone wears the same pair of socks for 2 days in Singapore. Everything's causing climate change, guys. June's record-breaking heatwave, this is the conversation, left more than 40 million Americans sweltering in temperatures over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Some places reached 120 degrees Fahrenheit, and energy grids were struggling to keep people cool. But let's switch to solar, yeah? Let's stop the energy production. Let's switch to solar and green, which will never produce enough energy for the entire population, so that people have less energy, shall we? The energy grid's already struggling, so let's make it struggle more and blame it on climate change. This aspect of the agenda is so convoluted, ladies and gentlemen. It's so wicked, so sinister. It could only be devised by the most wicked of people, Satan himself. I'm not even kidding. More than half of the western U.S. is now in extreme or exceptional drought. Wildfires are already menacing homes, and hurricane season is off to another busy start. This is what climate change looks like, and communities need to be prepared. It's also what the government interfering in the weather looks like. And by the way, we've had fires and hurricanes and rain and wind and all sorts of weather since the dawn of man. And yeah, sometimes it gets tragic. I'm talking about without government intervention. It can be tragic. And people over the years have learned to prepare for disasters and manage it themselves and get themselves out of dangerous situations. And if they make a stupid decision or if they happen to get caught in danger, it happens. It happens. This life, you can't live forever. I'm not trying to, you know, diminish what's happening to people right now. I'm just trying to say from the government's point of view, they behave like they have to intervene so that we can live forever. We can't live forever, and we don't want you in our lives, in our kitchens, in our bedrooms, in our backyards, in my closet. If I want to live in a flood-prone area and forfeit my insurance and not bother anyone about it, I will bloody do so. Sometimes small adaptations can reduce the heat or minimize the damage, but when the risks get too high, one strategy that has to be considered, guys, it has to be considered, we have to consider this, is managed retreat. The purposeful movement of people, buildings, and other infrastructure away from highly hazardous places. And who determines what highly hazardous is? Well, right now it's a bunch of NGOs, but if they have it their way, it'll be AI models that have been fed that every single place other than a smart city is highly hazardous. Do you see how this works? Managed retreat is controversial. You don't say. You don't say. Telling people that they have to move off an island that they've lived for God knows how many years and their ancestors have lived and all their memories are there and they're tied to this island and they don't want to leave and they don't actually have a problem with rising sea levels. You don't say that that may be a little controversial. Controversial, particularly in the United States, but it isn't just about moving. It's about adapting to change and building communities that are safer, addressing long overlooked needs and incorporating new technologies and thoughtful design for living and working in today's world, because your existence is to work in today's world. Your existence is to serve the establishment. Your existence is to live for the government and pay more and more and more taxes so that they can keep creating wars to accelerate their great reset agenda, which further makes you more and more useless. That's what life's about, guys. These people are sick. These people are maniacs. They will destroy every aspect of our lives. They will rip our entire life from our hands if we don't stop them. And I know you all know that. I'm not ranting at you. I'm ranting with you. Finally, I want to show you this insurance document in the last few minutes that we have here. This is from Zurich. What is managed retreat and is it a viable response to climate change? And they mention here New Zealand, which we just played you a clip of before. New Zealand's first national adaptation plan includes most of the climate resilient options you would expect to find. Nature-based and hard engineering solutions such as wetlands and seawalls feature prominently, as do upgrades to properties and infrastructure to withstand more extreme weather and initiatives to educate and prepare communities for climate risks. That means convince you that your community shouldn't be, you shouldn't live in that community anymore. That's what that translation means from UN gibberish to actual English. But what grabbed attention is the rest of the title read, including managed retreat. And they talk here about it also being called managed realignment. So please be familiar with that term as well. Managed realignment is another word that they may use. Involves the strategic relocation of people, buildings and other assets from areas vulnerable to climate change and natural hazards. Areas vulnerable to the weather. That is what this is saying. They're going to move your family, your assets, everything from an area that's vulnerable to the weather. I don't know if you know this, guys, but the sun shines and the wind blows in plenty of places. They say that the concept of retreating whole communities is gaining credence. And that given the current situation of climate change, which is the weather, it is not a question of whether communities will retreat, but rather where, when, and how, says the climate director at Zurich. They have a climate director. So they actually say here that in summer of 1993, the farming community of I don't know how to pronounce this. I think it's Valmaya, Illinois, was flooded twice in a month when the swollen Mississippi River topped its levee system. The flood water lingered for months, damaging 90% of properties. Faced with rebuilding the town and risking further flooding, the 900 residents instead decided to move their entire town, New Valmaya, on higher ground a mile away. So that is a little bit different to being told you don't have a choice. That is a town deciding, okay, we've had some problems here. It's becoming too difficult for us to rebuild on our own. We don't need the government to come in and tell me anything. We're just common sense people and saying we'll just move higher up the mountain maybe. But they say that due to the threat of rising sea levels and storm surge, not just sea levels, guys, storms as well, because that's something that's unprecedented. We've never had rain. We've never had wind. Mind you, we probably haven't had it at the levels of manipulation that it is now. But just I'm talking about the stupidity that they're convincing people with. Due to storms, the coastal village of Fairbourne in West Wales, UK, will needs to. It's been mandated. It's been told you have to do this to adopt a policy of managed realignment between 2025 and 2055. It will require the relocation of properties, businesses, and 850 residents. Then the area will be turned back into a tidal salt marsh. So these people don't have the choice. They've been mandated that by this year, you need to relocate your entire town. What do you think a place of 850 residents really looks like? Are these people quite independent? Did they get the COVID injections? Did they listen to the lockdown requirements? Do you think that they may be able to function without a digital currency and a central bank digital currency and a digital ID and that they just kind of have their own barter system and they don't really need big pharma? And probably don't need to be, you know, on the Google surveillance grid and on the iPhone that, you know, knows your thoughts. And maybe these people are quite safe from the government. Do you think that that may be the case in Fairbourne in the west of Wales, UK? Because I think maybe that's the reason why they want them out of there. And I think, just a hunch, that this is the way that they're going to come after independent people, moving them into areas forcibly eventually where they can be controlled. It won't be instant and, you know, it's going to be very difficult to do it all over the place, but bit by bit they're starting to. They're starting to in New Zealand. We already have a case in Australia. They're fighting back as we speak. And they're trying to condition already the United States. They're actually talking here about Indonesia's capital city is planning to do it as well. It's one thing to move a small town or village. It's another when you try to undertake a managed retreat from a megacity. That's what Jakarta, Indonesia's capital city, plans to do. Jakarta is one of the 570 coastal cities vulnerable to sea level changes. Jakarta is a very, very famous holiday destination. It's wonderful for Indonesia's tourism industry. They don't care about that. They don't care about the tourism industry because they actually want to end travel. They want you miserable and living in pods forever. They don't want you to have a natural life. They want you to have an artificial life where you are, you know, half man, half cyborg and can't think for yourself. Because no matter what, the ultimate goal is the mark of the beast. That is the ultimate goal. That is the reason for all of it. It's yes, follow the money. Yes, they want more control. Yes, 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 yes. At the top of all of those reasons, if you look at it like a pyramid and follow the money's here and control is here, the top reason, the absolute top reason is the mark of the beast. And tomorrow I'm going to have a little bit on that for you. I just did a really, really important interview on that very topic last week, and I think we've discovered some very important technology from a transhumanism conference that's happening this month, and I think that it's going to be something that a lot of people want to hear about. I'm not going to air the whole interview, obviously. If you want to watch it tonight, you can. It's up on band.video. It's Hope and Devon, Mark of the Beast Technology Exposed. You can also watch it on the homepage of zmedia.com. That's zeeemedia.com. It's up on our Rumble as well. So we are on all of those platforms. Very, very important. But I'm going to dig into some of that. I do encourage you to watch it tonight even, but I'm going to dig into some of that tomorrow about some of this technology that we've sort of uncovered in the process of digging through what these transhumanist maniacs are doing and how this all links up to essentially everything that we've been talking about today. And that report that we did last week on the American Journal about the bioterrorism, biodefense agenda, and how they're essentially saying that how climate plays into this, the change, you know, climate change with pandemics, with this, with that. And they're going to say, oh, well, this area is prone to pandemics and therefore that also impacts the climate, or vice versa. This area is prone to climate change, which actually impacts pandemics. And the human beings going into nature here is causing climate change. And so managed retreat, managed retreat, managed retreat. And you can bet your bottom dollar that you will start seeing disaster zones in America. Maybe not this time around, but perhaps in the near future, being pushed under this managed retreat agenda. So please protect your local communities. Please share this segment today with everyone to let them know, to educate them on this agenda and make sure they're standing against it. We've got a really, really huge broadcast tomorrow. I'm very, very excited about a special guest, but I'm going to keep it a surprise for the morning. So I will see you tomorrow at 8 a.m. Central. Alex Jones Show coming up. God bless.
The globalist deep state just took their war on free speech and our very identities and our very freedoms to the next level. They have now introduced a lawsuit against me where they literally claim they own my name, my social media, and me personally in violation of the 13th Amendment that we fought the Civil War over. They're actually saying I'm an indentured servant, that I am a slave. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm always the canary in the coal mine. I am the test case. And when they get through me, they're coming after you. They're not just saying they own me. They've also filed in federal court and also in the state court saying they own the name Alex Jones and that they own real Alex Jones on X. Now, the courts have all said you can't do things like that, but they're trying it. And if I don't aggressively battle them in the state and federal court, they will get a win if I don't challenge it, and then they'll be able to use that tactic on you as well. And in the words of President Trump, when that bullet grazed his ear, defiantly rising up and saying, fight, fight, fight. That's how we fight. in the information war, winning hearts and minds, and we're unstoppable if you simply decide to take action. So for all your word of mouth, all your prayers, and all your support over the years, I salute all of you and remind you that you are the Paul Revere's. You are the resistance. You are the people. And I am so proud to have been working with all you through the years, and now the fight is entering the most intense part of the phase, so let's redouble our efforts and let's win this thing. Or we can roll over and be slaves to the New World Order. As for me, I'll quote Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. And I'll quote Colonel Travis the Alamo, victory or death. RealHawkShows.com, TheHawkShowStore.com. Back me and I'll never surrender.